Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Aubrey Wallet, and you're listening to Weekdays with Merce.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Merce. Today on the show, we'll welcome back our good friend, Taylor Hughes. We'll talk with her about what she's been up to since the last time we spoke, her tour with Audra McLaughlin that kicked off the year, and some new music. This is going to be fine. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome back our dear friend Taylor Hughes to the show. Hey Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I finally got my first round COVID shot this morning.
Yeah, how you feeling? You feeling good? No extra limbs growing yet? Or?
No, it's so far no side effects except for a slightly sore arm, but it's getting a lot better.
Well, good. Yeah, I've heard some people that have gotten it so far where some have said, "Oh, no, it's fine," and others have been like, "I've got the worst headache." They were saying they weren't feeling well for about a day, but then it went away, which is good, right?
Yeah, I think that's actually more of the around tooth shock than it is the first one, because I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
crazy world.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually posted this on social media. I go, I never thought that I'd be living in a world where I'd have to get a vaccine for a global pandemic.
You know what? I can totally agree with that. It's kind of crazy to think about, you know, at the end of 2019, if you would have told me this was about to happen in the new year, I would have said you were joking. Like, no way. Like, who's pranking me? Like,
right, exactly. I mean, it's, and also, my girl, Ashley Taylor told me to tell you hi.
Ashley, I was just with her earlier.
I'm guessing that's the co-route you were talking about.
I was riding with her and our mutual friend Hannah Wright, who lives down in Texas, and she came up for the week to kind of have a little getaway and set up a few co-writes. So we haven't seen her since probably, gosh, it's been like a year right before COVID. So it was really good for the three of us to hammer out a pretty badass song and just catch up, and, you know, it was just had a blast.
And speaking of catching up, it's been almost a year to the day since you were on the show.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Like, I can't even believe it. I didn't even realize it until you mentioned it to me the other day.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, where does time go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's funny is that I felt like last year, you know, we were all kind of stuck in quarantine for months and months, and it felt like it just drug on and on and on. And then we hit, like, it was probably like September or October, and it just, the rest of the few months that we had left just flew. And I was like, whoa, the year's over. Like, you know,
right,
it's kind of
exactly.
Crazy. I can't believe it's already the end of March of this year. Like,
right, seriously, it's like you said, it's just absolutely flying by. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I mentioned it in the intro a little bit, but you kicked off 2021 by doing a little miniature, didn't you?
I sure did. Yeah, with Audra McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm. So talk about that. Talk about how that came to be. How you got hooked up with Audra and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Audra and I met probably towards the middle to the end of 2019. We both just happened to be at a round together, and a mutual friend of ours was like, you got to meet her. And I was like, I don't know who she is. Like, I've never seen her out. And we just happened to be playing the same show one night, and that's kind of how it all started. We clicked instantly. We had written together a few times, and here recently, right before 2021 came, she was like, I have a show booked in your hometown. So I'm from Lexington, and she was like, hey, do you want to play the show with me? And I was like, absolutely, why not? You know, it's my birthday weekend, you know, let's go back to my hometown, I'll book us another show so we can do, you know, kind of make a full weekend out of it. And with my dad managing me, he was like, well, let's see if we can, you know, get some sponsors and try to turn this into like just a mini acoustic tour. And it's exactly what happened. We hit the road immediately, and we've been out of town almost every weekend since the start of January playing shows. And it was just like a little Kentucky thing, just her and I, you know, the 3 to 4 hour shows playing here and there at some of my favorite hometown spots. And it started to pick up some momentum, and we had other venues reach out to us that wanted to be a part of the tour. And it went into February, and then we've had a little bit of a break and have been doing like solo shows, but we actually have a show in Kentucky this weekend on Saturday night. I'm playing Friday night and Saturday night in Lexington, but her and I will be playing at the Doubletree Suites in Lexington on Saturday. But yeah, you know, her and I, we have a very similar style, so just have like a similar like mindset, and we're just like really good friends. And like I said, we just clicked instantly. So being on the road with someone who not only shares the same passion as me, but like we just get along so well, it has been just a great way to kick off this new year, especially after the crazy year that we just had. And I always joke around that she's like the northern version of me. So she's from Philly. And but we've been having an absolute blast, and we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We're actually going to be playing in Knoxville and Chattanooga. We're going to be up in New Albany. And so April and May are starting to look pretty good. You know, we're excited about the stuff that's coming up. I'm just excited to be back on the road, man, playing live music, seeing fans, doing what we love.
Oh, I bet. And the last time we spoke, the pandemic had just sort of hit, but it wasn't necessarily in full lockdown mode yet. And I think I might have told you this, I'm not completely sure, but when everything hit the fan and venues started closing and everything, I'd be on Instagram or Facebook, and I'd see like 10 live streams at a time. I'm like, what is happening right now?
Right. Yeah. No, with all that stuff shutting down, it really did, like, force everyone to just go to the social media platforms even more than we already were on them. And, you know, before all that, I had never really done any live streams or anything like that. It just wasn't my thing. But I was also just constantly playing shows, so I didn't really have any reason to. And that kind of forced me to get out of my comfort zone a little bit and dive into the live streaming side of things. But I actually was able to grow my audience that way, because with the live streams, you know, they're able to be watched all over the world, and fans over in Australia and the UK. And, you know, I've got people asking, when are you coming over here to do a, you know, European tour? And I'm like, hey, I am down for that. Let's do it. You tell me when and where. So it's been really cool.
And that's the sort of the same way with this podcast. I mean, I'll have people reach out to me from France or Italy or, believe it or not, we're heard in Germany, believe it or not. And so, I mean,
really?
I mean, when I first started this thing, I'd have people reach out to me from like I said, France, Italy, Canada, and yeah, I mean, it's pretty mind blowing, isn't it?
It really is. You know, for me, I'm so old school. Like, I like, you know, I always love being able to like perform live and stuff, but like.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's all about, like, being in person, and, like, if I don't have to be on social media, like, I don't want to be. I'm the kind of person that wants, like, the CD in hand or the vinyl rather than having to get on a streaming service or something like that. But I will say social media has been quite a blessing this last year, you know? Who would have thought?
Oh, I understand that. And I'm actually the same way. If it weren't for the show and what I do, I grew up in a time where there was no social media. So if it weren't for the show and what I do, I'd have no social media. Since I did the show, I kind of had to do social media for it, and that's become social media has become. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Don't get me wrong, but
right. It's a way. Like,
it can be a little dangerous. Yeah, it can be a little interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, but yeah, and I'm the same way as you. I love nothing more. Than handwritten letters and cards. I love nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm. I used to, I have an aunt that lives in California, and when I was younger, we used to write each other. And it's crazy to think that, like, that's not a thing anymore, you know? And
right.
So whenever I get somebody, I'm like, ooh, who's trying to get to me? Like, is someone sending me a letter? Is it an invitation or a card? Like, you know.
Right, exactly. I have a drawer full of cards and letters that past guests have sent me. I mean, and they're all handwritten, and I'm just like, that's one of my... That's one of my most prized possessions right there. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm someone who, like, if I get, like, a Christmas card or something, I always save them. And my husband's like, what is this drawer full of? And I'm like,
I'm the same way, girl.
And he's like, what are you going to do with them? I'm like, I don't know, but I don't want to get rid of them because I need
exactly.
them, you know?
It's just like a nostalgia kind of thing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, because I remember growing up, we didn't really have a whole lot of social media. I mean, we were using, like, I don't know if you remember this, the AOL dial-up and stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? So, like, that was really, like, and, like, if you wanted to talk to your friends online, like, you emailed them. You didn't, like, get on Facebook. Or,
oh, I remember.
And MySpace. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh. I think I still have my face page out there floating around somewhere, I think.
Here. Same here.
As embarrassing as that is, I mean, you know. But anyway.
There's probably a lot of people like us out there. Like, they just never, like, deleted it. They just stopped using it. Yeah, that's a thing.
Right. As soon as Facebook came along, well, I resisted Facebook. For the longest time, I resisted it.
Yeah. I think I've been like that with TikTok. I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, gosh.
And then
TikTok.
I finally got one, and I'm still, like, trying to fight it. Still fighting it.
I cannot have a TikTok. I used to have Snapchat, and I deleted that because it was way too many social medias for me. Way too many social medias.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I used to love Snapchat, and I went through a phase where, like, I used it all the time, and then I was like, this is so dumb. Why do I have this? And then I stopped.
Exactly. So now it's just Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for me. And I think that's all I'm going to have because as hard as I try, I cannot get into TikTok. I just can't do it.
No, I don't understand it. Like, I watch, like, my friends
I
follow and stuff, and I'm like, who thinks to, like, randomly post these videos? I don't know. Maybe my life is just so busy that I don't have time. I don't know. I struggle.
But I will tell you this, though.
Stuff out on Instagram and whatnot.
I will tell you this, though. TikTok, for artists, is blowing up. Because I know.
That's why I'm like, I really need to get into it.
Because I know of at least two apps on TikTok that are good friends of mine that have gotten major label deals from something they've posted on TikTok. And one of these acts, I don't know if you know Tiger Lily, but posted their latest single on TikTok. It shot to number one all genre on iTunes.
That's awesome. I love following them. I know exactly who you're talking about. I've been following them for a long time, and their heart is crazy. And I saw that they signed a deal here recently, so it's really exciting to see, like, really talented people, like, you know, making it and stuff. And it kind of just, you know, makes you push yourself even more and be like, you can do this too. Like, you just gotta. Everyone's got their own path, right?
Absolutely. And before I forget here, I want to talk about your new single, "Prayer of the Whiskey," which I'm sure you know, it came in at number two on my Indie Country Radio Show the week of I believe it was February 19th, it came in at number two. So talk to me about how Friend of the Whiskey came about. Was it co-write? Was it a solo write? Or how did the idea come about?
Yeah. So I had actually wrote this song with my dad. And it was him and I, we write a lot together. We still write a lot more together. But now that I live here and he lives in Lexington, we don't get to as much. But before I'd moved down here to Nashville, we used to write all the time. And I moved here about a little over 3 years ago. And this was the first song that I had written once, you know, being like, oh, Nashville is my new home. And my dad and I were sitting there talking, and we were like, well, what do we want to write today, you know? And my dad and I are unbelievably close. So, like, him and I, we used to tailgate together, and we were sitting there talking about tailgating times and, like, being in college and all the dumb things that we used to do and whatnot. And it kind of got on the, you know, the discussion of, oh, remember when we brought this whiskey to that tailgate that one time, or, you know, because we're from Kentucky, you got to have your bourbon, got to have your whiskey, all that stuff. And
right.
It kind of was, you know, just talking about old party times and, you know, the difference between, you know, listening to the devil on your shoulder or the angel on your shoulder, how we all have those moments in our lives. And all the Catholic references, obviously, I'm born and raised Catholic, so we thought it might be kind of cool to tie the whole drinking with the religion thing in. And he started spitting out lyrics, and I had like a melody and kind of like this chord progression going with it, and it just kind of flowed, and, you know, song was, you know, just kind of born. And I think everyone, the whole, like, idea behind the song was that we all deal with those moments in our lives. It might not even be drinking, but, you know, we all have a vice or just a certain point in our life where we're faced with, do we, you know, do right or wrong? Do we have a little extra fun when maybe we shouldn't? And also just struggling with wanting to, you know, do the right thing or, you know, or be a good Christian. You know, I think we all have moments like that. It was also just kind of supposed to be like a fun,
story.
Like,
Agatine story.
Oh. All right. And, you know, that's just kind of how it came about. And I had started playing it at all my writers' rounds and stuff. Like I said, we wrote this, you know, 3 years ago. And, you know, it was something that a lot of my co-writers, a lot of my fans, just audiences in general, knew kind of as like my signature song. It was something that I'd always played, and I was constantly asked, when are you going to release it? When are you going to record this song? And I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't know how people are going to take it, because being a female artist, like, this isn't typically something you hear a girl singing about, right? And I kind of got to the point where I was like, you know, this is me, like, this is my artistry, and you know, fans seem to really like this song, and I think it'd be kind of cool to finally release something that I wrote with my dad. So it was a special release, not just because it was, hey, here's my sophomore single, but it was also, you know, introducing the world to my dad as a writer as well. So kind of a little bit of the background on it.
Oh, that's awesome. And like you said, apparently fans seem to have taken to it because like I said, it came in at number two on the show about a month ago. So fans seem to have taken to it.
Right? Yeah. No, it's gotten a great response, and I've been so excited about it. And I know my dad's been super excited about it too. And you know, it's a little different than a little bit more southern rock than my first single, but it was definitely one I just felt like I needed to get out there, and everyone has been, you know, responding to it really well. And I've gotten messages from people that I met, you know, in Nashville 3 years ago that were like, I remember the first time you sang this song, like, the, you know, it was worth the wait, I'm so proud of you, and, like, it really means something when, like, someone has saw it at its very, like, beginning and watched it kind of grow, and that they appreciate it, and, you know, obviously it's exciting to, you know, have my dad be a part of it, too, because music's a family thing for me, you know that, and I'm just glad to be able to share the success it's having with him.
Now, I may be getting into a touchy territory here, but you said you're from Lexington, Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Well, I was reading an interesting stat here because we know the NCAA tournament's going on. Now, don't kill me for this, okay? Don't kill me for this, but I was reading an interesting stat that said this is the first NCAA tournament since 1979 without Duke or Kentucky.
You know, I wish I could say, I mean, I'm pretty upset about it. Like, our football season didn't go real well, and I'm a huge football fan, and our basketball season was quite the struggle. But on the bright side, Duke is not in it either, and that is what we all should be celebrating.
True. Because I got to tell you, I don't like Duke, and I don't like North Carolina. So.
Right. Those are big rivals. We're on the same page.
I think we're on the same page there. I think I might have just saved myself.
Yeah. You did. I'll hold it against you talking about it.
Oh, man. Before we let you go, I know you're still riding the success of this new single, but is there like an album in the works? Have you and your dad talked about that?
Yes, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. So I do have another single that I've got ready to go. There's a few people that know what it is, and a lot of people that come out to my shows know because I've kind of mentioned it here and there, but I do have another single that I'm planning to release, but we're also talking about releasing an album. Before I moved to Nashville, I'd started recording stuff, and I never got it, like, fully mixed and mastered, so I'm wanting to go back into those songs and redo a few things and touch a few things up. But this past, you know, year and, I guess, 3 months now, these first 3 months of the year, I've done a lot of writing, and I've had the opportunity to work with amazing songwriters and artists as well, and we've written a lot of new material that I'm really excited about, so it's definitely in the works. I don't know, I don't have any, like, idea of when I would be releasing it, but we're definitely, you know, those wheels are turning, we're starting to plan, and yeah, more music is coming this year, for sure.
Awesome. And I cannot wait for it. When everything fully opens back up and the world returns to normal, whatever that might look like, whatever that might look like at this point, I need to get myself to Nashville and hit show of yours sometime.
Yes, I would absolutely love that. You've got to let me know when you're coming ahead of time so I can prepare myself. We'll make it
absolutely.
Like a big party. Right.
Well, you know, it's always so much fun getting to catch up with you, whether that's on social media or on the show. I mean, I definitely consider you a very, very dear friend at this point.
Well, thank you. That means so much. I love that, you know, you don't just do an interview and then you move on to the next. You make sure to stay connected with your artists. And for me, that means a lot. And, you know, your support means the world, and you know you got my support. I got you. So just a pleasure being back on here.
Well, I absolutely appreciate it, and you know I got you too. I mean, whatever you need, I don't care what it is, whether that's in the industry, promotion for any single, or I mean, just as a friend, you know, I got you.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that, and you know, occasionally I'm gonna need you to help me cheer on the Cats if they're playing Duke or North Carolina, you know.
That may actually happen. I'm not making any promises, but that might happen.
It's okay. You can be honest. We know. We know. You're secretly a UK fan.
Because I'm a Tennessee fan. I know.
More of a football rivalry there, but I won't hold it against you since I'm a big
And I'm going to be honest with you. I was so glad when we fired Jeremy Pruitt. I was so glad. But
I feel like we all go through those phases with we hate our coach, we like the coach. We hate our coach, we like the coach.
Absolutely. But this new guy coming in, Josh Heupel, I think is his name, coming in from Central Florida. I think he's going to do a pretty big thing. And my old my alma mater, their head football coach's son recently committed to Alabama.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was down between Alabama, LSU, and my college, and if it had chose my college, one of two things probably would have happened since his dad's the head coach.
Right.
He would have started day one, no question. He would have totally been ignored for his freshman year.
That's so true, though. It's like one or the other.
Exactly, and if I was betting and he'd have chose that school, I would have bet he started day one. I would have bet.
Where Coach Calipari's son came to play for him, and a lot of people mm-hmm. thought he was going to be full time. It was like, nope. He comes on occasionally.
Yeah. Let's hold up on that a second. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I totally get that, but again, Taylor, I mean, it's always fun catching up with you. There's seriously never a dull moment with you.
Well, I'm so glad that you like talking to me. I always have a blast catching up with you, and especially with all the craziness that's going on, it's nice to see what everyone's been up to stay sane and, you know, seeing what their big plans are for the future.
Absolutely. And you know you've got to open him, but open invitation back to the show anytime you want to come back home.
Oh, thanks.
You know where to find me.
You know, I'm always there to help you out, especially with the anniversary calls and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think we're gonna let you go and let you get back to your evening. But again, it was so much fun catching up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Cody.
All right, I'll talk to you later, okay?
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Taylor Hughes. So there is a slight schedule change for next week. Next Wednesday, not Tuesday, at 4:30 Central, we welcome super talented duo Twin Kennedy to the show. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.